Okay, this coming Erev Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas, of course, picking up where Parshas Balak left off, and we are introduced to Pinchas as Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And why does the Torah list his lineage after both of these ancestors, ben Elazar and ben Aaron, specifically? So the Meshech Chachma, Rameir Simchav Divinsk, explains that Pinchas did two things within the action of killing Zimri. The first was that he took a life in order to preserve Kavod Shamayim, in order to hold up Shem Shamayim. The second was that he gave up his Olam Haba for the benefit of the Jewish people. Now, in regard to the first issue, he was acting as Elazar HaKohen did when Aaron died and there was an attack and the Levium came to fight and Elazar was their leader. On the other hand, Aaron was the source of the second stand. Pinchas' actions were in concert with the standard set by his predecessors, Lechaper al B'nei Yisrael. Aaron was ready to give up his Olam Haba for the benefit of the Jewish people, so was Pinchas. So we see Pinchas acted as his forebearers, the Kohanim, did, and so therefore he is given the same perspective. We're also told, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Rashi cites the Medrash that notes that the people were not so enamored with Pinchas. They turned around and said, Harisa ben Puti ze, Shepitem avi imo agalam la avodah zara. They said, the person whose grandfather was an idolater, did you see what he did? And he got up, and he rose and killed a Nasi b'Yisrael. That's a terrible thing. So the Aris Devash wonders how the people could have possibly thought that Zimri was correct. What's the big deal? And so the Aris Devash, Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz, explains that the people didn't actually think Zimri was correct. They gossiped anyway, in order to assuage their own guilt as to why they didn't rise to the occasion the way that Pinchas did. And they reasoned that if a great person had done it, it would have brought out a bigger Kiddush Hashem. That's why the Pasuk writes his lineage, to show us that he was correct, even according to their reasoning. And Rabbi Yerucham Levavit Zatzal adds that this is Yirmiyahu's argument to Hashem in the Haftorah. Kinar Anochi, I'm a young person. We lost many opportunities in life because people don't arise to the occasion. If it's the right thing to do, stop looking and seeing if you're the one to do it. A person has a responsibility to do the right thing. My father always says to me, "B'makom shein anashim hishtadal yosish," you need to rise to the occasion to do the right thing. Of course, after the section, the Torah tells us, "Ki tzoros ar medyanim." Right, because of the episode of Peor. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that the Avodah Zarah of Peor, with all of its disgusting nature, was an Avodah Zarah of Kairos. What did the Avodah Zarah represent? Why were the people so enamored with it? They were enamored with the fact that anything went. You wanted to go to the bathroom? Go to the bathroom on Avodah Zarah. You wanted to run around with other people? Run around with people in front of them. Everything is spiritual because it's all Hefker, because spiritual and physical is nothing. It's like they were saying this week that the study came out that there's no basis of religion anymore. Everything's sociable and everything goes. This is, says Rav Yaakov, was the disgusting nature of Efkeris, of poor. And there are sections of our country which used to be respectable areas of the country, where now again, everything goes. When one lives a life of Efkeris, where everything goes and everything is incredible, says Rav Yaakov, we come to the actions of Zimri, and then unfortunately, the danger that comes there within. After this episode finishes, there is a census that takes place in order to be able to figure out how B'nai Yisrael are going to function in the land of Israel, who's going to get and who's not going to get. And of course, we come to the B'nai Tzlafchad, who raised their concerns about their not getting a place in Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns and teaches Moshe Rabbeinu exactly how we get to the situation of dividing up the land of Israel. And we're told, Ach bagoral yechalech es haaretz, in the end of the day, you're going to use a lottery to divide the land. Now, the land of Israel is divided based on the tribes and the earlier generations. This is quite interesting, because Rabbi Chil Mechel Tukhoshensky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, author of famous works, Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash, and Gesher HaChayim, he was an early Zionist, but he came from the land of Israel, so he would often remind the Chalutzim who established the Medina that they need to remember that the Haredim, with their own version of Zionism, after all, every day they daven Sechazana Inena Beshuv Chalitzion, that they were also part of the Medina. In Europe, these Charedim davened every single day, and they were also involved in shaping the Medina. We need to recall also the early generations, Lishmos Matos Avusam Yinchalu. We need to recall that when we study Torah, we do so with the homage and the respect to the earlier generations. Right? If we don't, Torah, like Eretz Yisrael, doesn't provide a chelik for us. We come from somewhere. We come from an environment. And we need to remember that that environment came from the people who stood before us. Don't think that it's always out with the old and in with the new, which is important for us to realize that we are the new, and that's a good thing. Moshe Rabbeinu also turns and he was told afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're gonna go fight the battle of the Megiddim, and then you're going to pass away. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, do me a favor, please, first, find me a leader, Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, Asher Yavo Lifnehem, the Torah tells us, find us a leader who will go out before them and return before them. And why does the Torah repeat the idea of going before them and establishing the criteria of the next leader? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains that sometimes leaders look behind them to see if the people agree with their leadership. And when that happens, the people are actually leading the leaders. The leaders are like dogs. They're walking in front, but they keep their heads turning around, going, huff, 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 huff. But if that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and he says, I want a leader who's always looking ahead. He's looking out in front. A real, true leader. Somebody pointed out to me just recently that there's a reason why the rear view mirror is so small and the front windshield is so large. A person has to be able to see a bigger thing when he's moving forward. He doesn't have to be so careful to stand over the past. He needs to use the past to guide and shape the future. He needs to know where he came from in order to be able to know where he's going. But to use it as a defining feature of constantly turning behind you to see if where the people are, that's a big danger in our lives, and we need to watch out for that. And so Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want that in the next leader. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to select Yehoshua, and he was told, "Vitzivisa osole nehem." You need to command Yehoshua in front of the eyes of the people. Rav Shechter Shlita would often quote to us from the Sri Deish that this is the concept of the Chag HaSmicha, that you need every responsibility when you appoint a Jewish leader that he has to be done in a public way. Because Smicha is not simply a private matter, it's a celebration that's held in public. And because it's dependent upon the acceptance of the Tzibur. In fact, Rav Meir had to receive the Smicha twice, since he was deemed too young when he received it the first time. A leader can't be an autocrat. You can't just say to somebody, okay, now I'm the leader. I have a friend who said that he came from a town in Europe where a bunch of guys came in one day and they decided, here's Osi Reinu. But that doesn't work. And the people have no responsibility at that point in time. Instead, the people have to rise to the occasion, and the leader has to be able to be somebody who's able to relate to the people. And of course, therefore, we were told, V'nasata mehodcha olav, you have to give from your hod, from your glory, onto Yehoshua. And Rashi notes the famous comment of the Medrash and the Gemara over here, that p'nei Moshe k'p'nei Achama, p'nei Yehoshua k'p'nei Alavana, oilo la'oso busha, look at the embarrassment over there, that Moshe's face was like the sun, and Yehoshua was the reflection, was like the moon. What exactly is so bad about reflecting the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu? We know a lot of people that halavai they should be able to do so. Yitzchak Avinu, Rav Salavechik writes, that was his tafkid in life, to be able to reteach the Torah of his father. Not everyone needs to be a great innovator. So why is this such a busha and a chlima? So Rav Zalman Saratskin Zatzal explains that the sun worries about what will illuminate after it sets, and so it reflects onto the moon. But the moon doesn't. And the same thing was true for Yehoshua. He failed to recognize the need to prepare for life after his own existence. And certainly, if you take a look at the end of the book of Yehoshua, when Yehoshua dies, then all of a sudden, this is not acceptable in the Torah standards, to having whatever a person feels like, or whoever a person feels like, to be in charge. That's lawlessness. We have a responsibility in our lives, when we have Jewish leaders, that they need to be able to find their replacements, and who's taking over for them when they're done. Finally, in the Haftorah, we are told, this is the first of the three, the Gimel de Paranusa, and we're introduced to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and he sees a vision in his dream, about Amakel Shaked. And he says, yeah, Kishoked Ani al Divari Laso, so I hasten my word to accomplishment. And my dear friend Rav Yehuda Landi Shlita, the author of Unlocking Yirmiyahu, a wonderful, terrific book that just came out, points out that this nevuah was offered to Yirmiyahu 40 years prior to the Churban, and if so, what type of speed was Yirmiyahu referring to in this nevuah when he says, Kishoked Ani, I'm hastening my word? So Rabbi Landi explains that this nevuah happened prior to the discovery of the Sefer Torah that led to Yoshio's tshuva campaign. And when Yoshio HaMelech did tshuva, the calamity was postponed. And this is consistent with the Rambam's understanding that the misfortune warned by a Navi can be avoided if the people repent. Lo Navi Ani, Lo Ben Navi. But we are heading towards a period in our times where we are involved in the Paranusa, in the destructive phase. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the wisdom to turn around and improve our lives so that we can get to Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'Menucha L'Chayei Olamim. Shabbat Shalom to all.